This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:18 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. For our final story today, one that's been percolating for a while. Three MACC officers are being investigated for allegedly misappropriating funds. They are, however, being investigated by the MACC.
So, a little bit of background. The misappropriated funds were connected to a case involving the country's former DG of the Malaysian External Intelligence Organization. So, he was standing trial for a criminal breach of trust, including 50 million ringgit allegedly belonging to the government. Now, the point of contention here is, of course, many questioning why MACC is investigating their own officers and why the investigation is not being done by the police instead. People calling this out include Puchong MP Gobind Singh as well as Transparency International Malaysia.
So, this is a little bit Captain Obvious, right? I mean, this is something that we talk about, for example, in relation to the IPCMC, for instance, and why it is that you need an independent body and how difficult it can be for very obvious reasons, right? Without even getting into any sorts of aspersions, without getting into anything like that, I think just logically speaking, whenever something happens in any company, any organization, the investigation is external. It's external for a variety of good reasons, including a lack of bias, including the fact that you have some measure of independence, including the hope that people would not have pressures that are specific and intrinsic to the experience of working together. So again, I'm not even sure why I'm going on at length when I think it's really rather clear.
Yes, and I think that this has been a little bit of the challenge with... So an organisation like the MACC is fairly opaque in many ways in the first place. And I think that with all of the issues and challenges that we often have, it would be fair and it would give people a certain amount of trust to ensure that people outside were the ones doing the investigating. Again, I don't think this needs to be actually said or explained very much.
Yes. And yet here we are and still talking about why it is that the MACC doesn't have the kinds of oversight that we're discussing, right? And how it is that we can get there. So there has been this call for MACC to, for example, report to other bodies to fall under something else, and that would include something like Parliament. So we'd like to know, would you like to see the MACC report to Parliament? Did you have any other thoughts perhaps on how accountability and transparency could be improved in such a situation? That number to call is 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And we're now crossing over to Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, that's C4. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us. So what are your thoughts on the investigations of these three MACC officers?
We are very concerned, of course, with the latest developments of the arrest of the three MACC officers for theft of the amount of 6 million that has been reported. And we're also concerned, not just with this case, but with several other developments that have plagued MACC in recent times. So this particular case is very alarming because, one, it definitely jeopardizes the integrity of the entire institution, and that the trust factor that people may have for MACC will plunge in a very dramatic way if it is not dealt with urgently by the government and the people.
At the moment, these officers are being investigated by MACC itself. What are your thoughts on this?
We actually urge very much for an independent probe. And since this is an issue of theft, MP Gobind Singh had raised rightly the questions of why is MACC investigating its own officers when it should be the PDRM. But for us, that is not the most important issue. Of course it is, but the more important issue here is the integrity of MECC is at stake, and that it is impossible for them to investigate themselves. Similarly, when there are deaths in police custody and all that, we never recommend for the police to investigate themselves. So this is why it's really very important for MECC to be accountable to body like the parliament.
So you and other activists have been saying for a while now that the MECC needs to become a more independent body. I think you just gave an example of how that could be there. Currently, what are the loopholes that prevent this?
There are some loopholes in the law that does not allow MECC to be completely independent. And one of the issues that we've always espoused is the urgent need for MECC to hire and fire their own staff. And more importantly, for MECC to be lifted to a constitutional commission, and that the appointment of the chief commissioner should not be one that allows for the interference and influence of the prime minister. So right now, the prime minister brings a name to the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, and then that name is accepted as the next MECC chief. So there's no transparency, accountability, and there is absolutely no inclusivity in the process of inviting applications, vetting for really professional candidates to actually vie for the position in order for it to operate as independently as possible. So this issue of executive interference, political influence, has always plagued MECC ever since it was an agency. And then with the ACTA SBRM in 2009, it was meant to be much more independent. But there are very serious factors that actually allow for interference by various executive elements that can possibly curtail the MECC. But in this case, it has shown that the integrity factors of MECC are seriously in question. And unfortunately, the current leadership in MECC must assume the blame. There needs to be some accountability, and very serious accountability needed here to rectify the situation immediately. So those MECC officers that were involved in the investigation of the former intelligence chief and the CBT issues that she was charged for should actually step away, go on garden leave, etc., because they cannot be involved in investigating their own officers. And there have been other calls for the chief commissioner himself to go on garden leave.
Now, you touched on this earlier. There have been calls for the MECC to report directly to Parliament. Could you tell us why this is important?
Well, for one, Parliament should act, and its primary function is to act as a check and balance institution. So by MECC reporting to the legislative, it actually has greater control and greater strength to actually work more independently. Another factor that I did not raise just now is the financial power of the MECC. These are very important to be able to expand and investigate more cases, and it's very massive, the work of the MECC. So financial independence is another big issue that will ensure the independence of the MECC. And so for this, civil society groups have strongly recommended that Parliament is the one that actually allocates funds for the MECC to operate. So this is what is really important, that MECC reports directly to Parliament. So right now you see that any questions on corruption issues and so on, and the recent one I think was asked by YB Hanayo on Minister Rina Harun's payment, etc. You find it's not MECC themselves that are reporting to Parliament or being answerable to Parliament, but it's a minister that's actually answering on their behalf. So these are things that will allow it much greater independence, strength, and of course financial power to hire, fire, whichever experts that are required to ensure that investigations are thorough, investigations are professionally done, and that there is no influence of any political considerations.
Cynthia, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at C4, the Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, weighing in on the situation surrounding MACC investigating three of its officers for allegedly misappropriating funds, as well as addressing the wider concerns of MACC becoming a more independent body. We've been asking you what are your thoughts on this, really? And you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have a message from Nini, and I think we can read it, provided we just leave it there. You know, we don't say who we're referring to or who Nini might be referring to, but here's the message.
These people are wearing their undergarments on the outside.
All right. So, like we said, we'll just leave that there. Briefly, we also got a message on an earlier subject, which was contesting. It all began when a listener named Ro contested the term travel bubble, saying that it just sounded too delicate, you know, not safe in these trying times. And I am on the record as saying travel bubbles, great, no issues, love the imagery. You said travel pan, I believe.
I was trying to think of something that was self-contained, but also sturdy. I know pan is not the... the way to go, but I pulled it out of my head at a very short notice.
You're imagining traveling like Baba Yaga.
See, that's what it is. I didn't think about it, but yes, I think that's where it came from.
And then we had Munif Malik saying travel metal, which to me is just an airplane, really, or a helicopter, and then or a car. And now we have Anthony.
Anthony says, how about the term travel spree? You know, travel sprees just sound fun anyway, but I think it lacks the self-contained aspect of what they're going for.
But the industry would love it.
Yes.
So that is it from us for now, at least. We're going to be heading into popcorn culture in just a little bit. And we're going to be talking about something that's hitting the big screen. And that's Black Widow. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.